John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Was that a significant move for you, and do you praise Arlene for going?
I think it should be welcomed that Arlene Foster attended. The first time a DUP leader attends an LGBT event indeed has to be welcomed. But I'm bitterly disappointed with Arlene's comments last night. The other leaders who were there spoke of the legacy of criminalisation. They spoke about the fact that half of LGBT kids don't feel safe in our schools, talked about suicide and mental health rates amongst LGBT people. And I think Arlene Foster missed a key opportunity last night to reflect on the hurt and harm that has been caused to LGBT people across Northern Ireland by homophobia, and not least of all by the actions of the DUP over the last 50 years. There was no recognition by Arlene Foster last night of the inequalities experienced by LGBT people. In fact, she said from the platform that we are all equal in the room, which is very disappointing for a room full of people who don't feel equal within this society to be told by someone who is stand opposed to every LGBT equality measure to tell us that we are equal. She also asked us to respect her position on LGBT issues, other than the DUP's opposition to marriage.
To be fair to her, though, John.
But let me finish, David. I don't know what the DUP's position on LGBT issues are.
Well, as I've said this morning, you don't even know. You're a gay man in Northern Ireland. The DUP are refusing to publicly state whether they feel you or any other gay person in Northern Ireland's sexuality is normal. They're refusing to answer it.
Precisely, and that's why I say I think it was a missed opportunity for the DUP to clarify what their position actually is on LGBT issues. Arlene Foster told us a very important story last night about her experience of violence as a young person, being the victim of a bombing on a bus. And I, yesterday was the anniversary of that, and I imagine it was a very difficult day for her, and I'm thankful that she attended. But I also think it's important that she recognises the violent words and the violent actions that are experienced by LGBT people across our society every day, and that that is wrong. In Arlene's speech, she didn't once use the term homophobia or reflect any of the inequalities experienced by LGBT people, and I think that was a real missed opportunity.
Do you understand, though, how difficult it might have been, it would have been, for Arlene Foster to go to that event last night? There would have been some people in her party against her going, possibly disgusted with her going, if we think of some of the language that the DUP have used in the past. That was a risk that Arlene took in order to reach out to the gay community.
Well, I think if we were anywhere else in the Western world, the leader of our government coming to an LGBT event wouldn't be in any way a remarkable thing. I think, it may be brave in terms of Arlene Foster's own party position, but certainly last night she received nothing but a warm welcome from the LGBT community. Unfortunately, her comments weren't received in the same way, but certainly her attendance was. No one was calling her names. No one was suggesting that she shouldn't be there. We provided a very warm welcome, as we do to all political representatives, including those who disagree with us.
And here you are talking about the DUP this morning. Have you anything to say about Sinn Féin, who seem to have dropped their election promise that they won't go back in, to the status quo? They will not go back into government without equal marriage. Yes, they will. That's dropped. Martin O'Mueller now saying on Wednesday night that they're happy. He didn't say they're happy, but that they will go back in to government in Northern Ireland with the DUP allowed to use a petition of concern to block a majority vote on gay marriage.
Well, the position of the Love Equality campaign, Stephen, has been and has always been that we don't expect the government to bring forward marriage equality legislation for a return of the Assembly. What we've been asking for is reform of the petition of concern, because the LGBT civil rights movement is about more than just marriage. It is about a range of inequalities experienced by LGBT people, and sneaking through equal marriage but not having mechanisms in place which could ensure that other inequalities experienced by LGBT people isn't good enough. So what we want to see is, rather than a commitment to equal marriage, is reform of the petition of concern so that it can no longer be used to ensure that minority rights are being blocked within the Assembly. That's what we want to achieve. We've told.
So are you saying Sinn Féin should not go back in without reform of the petition of concern?
It's not my place to tell Sinn Féin what they should or shouldn't do, but what we're calling for is reform of the petition of concern. It is the only way that we can ensure that a returned Northern Ireland Assembly can represent all the people of Northern Ireland, which it has failed to do in relation to LGBT people. for its entire existence. The only legislation that has been passed by the Assembly that would benefit LGBT people is the pardons legislation, which came into effect yesterday, which meant that those who were criminalised in the past simply for having same-sex relationships could receive a pardon if they want one. While that is positive, I think it's a dire reflection on the Northern Ireland Assembly that that is the only move they've made towards LGBT equality.
Frieda and Mahara. Morning, Frieda.
Stephen.
Go ahead, Frieda.
And listening to the show this morning, and I heard Marcin Amelia saying that people in this day and age should be moving at the 21st century and we should be moving on. But we would stand very firmly. Now, I make it very clear, not against any person, but we stand against the sin of homosexuality, lesbianism, incest, bestiality, prostitution, and all sexually immoral practices. We are not homophobic.
Why are you talking about bestiality while we're talking about homosexuality?
Yes, we'll stick specifically to homosexuality. I'm just listing down those things which are sinful before God. And
are you listing down those things, including adultery that many Christians engage in? Where do you stop?
Yes, indeed, Stephen.
So maybe we could focus then, Frieda, on what we're talking about today, which is what rights gay people should have in this country.
Well, Stephen, look, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners.
That's not what I'm asking
you. Until we acknowledge we're sinners and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. We are in this world, we reach out to others, and yes, homosexual people in this country. My one aim and goal in life is to point them to Jesus. They are people who need to acknowledge their sinful practice in life. It's an unnatural practice, as God's word says. They hand over the burn and lust one from another. It says, God's word says that lesbian women, in other words, change their natural youth into that which is...
You say they lust for one another. Do you lust for people?
Not for people, not on all people.
No, but do you lust have you lusted in your life?
I'm a married person.
So you've lusted in your life, Frieda, right?
It wasn't a lust.
All right, so gay people lust, but you don't.
No, I do not.
All right, you don't lust, but gay people do.
No.
Right. All right. So why don't we talk about your sexuality now, Frieda?
Oh no, I'm not prepared to talk.
Oh, but you're prepared to talk about gay people's sexuality.
Yes,
I think it would be fair.
I'm an ordinary married woman.
And gay people are ordinary men and women. So if you want to talk about their sexuality, let's talk about yours. You say that gay people lust, but you love. Why don't you lust?
God's word says they lust.
Why don't you lust?
God's word says they lust.
Why don't you lust, Frieda?
If I was out in the world, if I didn't believe in Jesus Christ, I could maybe fall into that category.
I see.
Like, I'm not setting myself up as being above anyone.
Are you sure?
I'm not. I'm just saying I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and John Doherty. You know, I know John.
Okay.
He lives in Mahara, the same town as I live in, and I've invited John to come to meet with me.
Okay.
Three people.
Stephen, can I respond to that?
Very quickly, John. We've got to go to the news.
I mean, I think, first of all, Frieda doesn't... Hello, Frieda. I don't think Frieda gets to define whether or not she's homophobic. I think if you're going to refer to same-sex relationships as being unnatural, that is a homophobic comment. But Frieda comes on regularly to tell us what the Bible thinks. The Bible condones slavery. In fact, it sets out the laws and how slaves should be managed. Does Frieda believe that people should be allowed to own slaves today? Or is the reality that the Bible, while it teaches us many important lessons as how we should treat each other as human beings, is written at a point in time which is not reflective of how society is today or reflective of the human rights that should exist for all people across our society?